Welcome to Christian Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website, 3CLA.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved unto God, Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom. It's a blessing to be sharing with you, not just those that are here in the building, but also those who are tuning in on iChurch. We've got iChurch going forth in English and in Spanish live. So if you're joining us via iChurch, it's a blessing to be connected with you. If this ministry has been a blessing to you, please let us know. If you would turn to Acts, the second chapter. You know, in the next coming months, we're going to be acknowledging some special times that are in our faith. Passover, resurrection. And we want to give homage to those times and understand why we acknowledge those times. And it's kind of fitting that we're talking about the power, the glory, the anointing in this series, because we're talking about the importance of experiencing Yahweh. Wouldn't it be a shame if we come to church, spend 2-3 hours up in here, do all the talking, all the singing, all the praying, but he doesn't manifest? We can't come here with our own agenda. We got to come here expecting to hear from him. So we need to understand how to experience him. We don't come here for tradition, though people have traditionally come to church on Sunday. Sometimes we don't even get a full house until what people think is Easter. And that one day, they come to church. But with us as believers, true believers, church, worship, hearing the word, it's a 24/7 thing. We need this. I don't know about you, but I need this. I gotta come for a refill. It's a fill up. You can't go 2 months with a gallon of gas, can you? What do you got to keep on doing? Fill it up. So that's why we worship. That's why we experience him, because I don't know about you, but I can't make it through the Monday unless I fill up. Come on now. And Sunday ain't not the only fill up day. I need to fill up on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Now, unless you guys got a car that you can go 2 months without filling up, electric or whatever, you got a Prius or a plug-in, or I don't know what you got, but you still got to plug it in. So there are a lot of churches and there are a lot of stuff going on around the city, but are people really experiencing him when they come together? So that's why we're talking about what he has to offer when we come together. His power, his glory. So we've been talking a lot about his power. But if you, we've been talking about a lot about his glory, his presence, his preeminence, his atmosphere, the things that we can identify. We know that it's important for us to, it's observable. It's important for us to see him in operation, see him manifest in our midst. And so when we go to Acts, the second chapter, now we understand that, okay, the glory, how is this transferred to us? How is it given to us? God? What is the anatomy of his glory being manifested in us and to us and through us? So I love Acts because in Acts, it's the birth of the church. Yeshua said that he was leaving. He had crucified. He was resurrected, right? And all power in his hand. And he told us that he was going to have to go sit to the right hand of his Father. But in that, he said, I'm not leaving you alone. Amen. I'm going to send you a comforter. I'm going to send you the very power and presence of Yahweh himself. To not only dwell among you, but to dwell in you. And so there was an expectation that once he ascended, that there was going to be an experience. He said he was coming, and his word does not return unto him void, but accomplishes that what he says. So he says, don't do nothing until you get the promise. Until it comes. So there was an expectation. So when they were gathered together on this day, and I'm not going to read it in its entirety because we're going to visit that real soon. But I want to connect with how it was delivered. And so when you go look at the second chapter of Acts, they were all in one accord in one place. And then there was a sound, and basically, suddenly, there was a sound as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house, right? It filled the house. His presence filled the house. And then all of them just began to speak in other tongues. They were having an experience that had never happened before, but they came with an anticipation to experience him. And that's exactly what they experienced. Last week when we were talking about the glory, we were talking about his presence, and then he began to manifest. We began to cry out. We began to speak. Was anybody here last week? Was his presence in the house? There was an expectation, right? We come to experience him. So these people were experiencing the same thing. There was something that stood out to me. And if we go to the 14th chapter, I mean, the 14th verse of the second chapter. And I'm going to try to get through this with the time that I have. But I'm setting the foundation for the next phase we're talking about. We've talked about the glory. We're about to talk about something else today that fits right along with that. And so if you go to the 14th verse, it says, but Kepha, or Peter, Kepha is his Hebrew name. Standing up with the 11. Now, let me fill you in just really quickly. What happened before was the day. And there were some observers. There were some people that were saw it happen. And they were like, what is this? What? Why are these people responding and acting and speaking in all of these tongues and crying out and worshiping and all the things that happen? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Has anybody had an upper room, second chapter of Acts experience? I'm just saying. If you haven't, we about to talk about it. And so he was addressing the people that were checking it out. And he said with the 11 and lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken unto my words. And he said, for these folks ain't drunk. Now, they saw what was happening in previous in the chapter. They said, oh, what's wrong with these folks? Why are they acting like this? They must be drunk. So Kepha was saying, Peter was saying, they ain't drunk. As you suppose, they drunk, but they ain't drunk on what you think they drunk on. They full of something, but they ain't full of what you think they of. And he said, seeing it is but the third hour of the day, meaning it's too early to be drinking anyway. It's too early. So something, another phenomenon must have taken place here. Something else has filled these people that you see. They are responding and reacting because something has filled them. Something has motivated them. Something has ignited them. Something has set them on fire. Anybody have experienced some of that fire? I'm just saying. And the 16th verse says, but this is that. Hold up, stop.
Come on now.
This is what got me. He said, this is that. I gotta stay there for a second. Because evidently, to get to this, you had to understood that. Right? So he's saying there was something, an expectation of that, that was spoken of, that was talked about, so that we could get here to this. That's why we're talking about this, because if you want to experience him, you need to know about that before you can get to this. So how is this transference of this power? How is this igniting? What is the anatomy of that? Because I want to recognize when that is happening. What is that? Tell your neighbor, what is that? Sometimes we think we know what that is. And sometimes we try to manufacture that, but it ain't genuine. I don't know about you, but I want the real that. I don't want no fake that. So we got to get some knowledge on that. Tell your neighbor, that's right. So, that was something that was spoken by the prophet Joel. Now, we in Acts right now. So evidently, whatever that is, was talked about by the prophet Joel. So what on earth was that prophet talking about? That was going on that we could experience this. So we got to take it back. Let's find out what that was. So let's go to the Old Testament. And we're going to go to Joel. And if you know Joel, Joel is his Hebrew name. If you know anything about the Old Testament, you're finding out this is a truth ministry. It's not about denomination and tradition and all that. It's about not religion, because we don't do religion. We do truth up in here. We want to know the truth. We are the church for what kind of seek? We're searching for truth. And the Bible even tells us to study to show ourselves approved. So it's not just about what I know. It's about what you know. You need to study for yourself. The Bible tells you to study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That means you got to be able to acknowledge truth and be able to rightly demonstrate it, rightly talk about it, rightly understand it. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be wrong. I want to be right. I mean, I didn't mean it to sound, come on, but that's the truth. I want to be right. And so if we go to Joel, it says, but before I go there, just understanding something about the Old Testament, the anatomy of the Old Testament. There's like three sections of the Old Testament. There's what's called the law, which is the Torah, the first five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And then there's what's called the prophets. And then there's another section called the writings, right? And so the prophets are divided into two sections, the former prophets and the latter prophets. So Yoel is considered one of the latter prophets. So there's a word that he was sharing, a prophetic word, hundreds of years before Acts even came into being. I just want to explain one other thing to you. We still in Acts.
Come on now.
We are still in the second chapter of Acts today. Because he said that he was going to send that comforter, and that comforter was going to come and demonstrate and show us some things and signs and wonders.
That's right.
And that would keep on going until he came back. Well, guess what? He ain't come back yet. So he's still expecting the signs and wonders and the demonstration of power and all the things that we experience when we experience him. Holy Ghost, fire, everything. So you got to understand what was happening next. Man, there was some stuff happening, some powerful stuff happening next. When they had so much power going on that just when they shadow would pass over people. Come on, they shadow. People would get healed just from the shadow passing over. They didn't even get touched yet. Come on. So what was Yoel talking about? So we go to chapter 2, 27th verse. So I just wanted to show you that we talked about that was demonstrated in the New Testament, and we went back hundreds of years prior to that happening to hear about what he was saying about that. So he says, 27th verse says, "And you shall know that I am in the midst of Yisrael, and that I am Yahweh, your Elohim, and none else." So basically he's saying that you're going to know that I am. Did anybody catch that? Because his very name, Yahweh, God, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, Eyeh, Eshir, Eyeh, if you study it in the Hebrew, means I am, I will be what? I will be whatever I will be. So he's saying that, many people said it means I am that I am. No, it's deeper than that. Because in the Hebrew, Yahweh is always moving. He's always in the future. He's always moving, right? And so he's not I am, he's I will be. He is so powerful that you got to address him in the future. Come on. Does anybody need him to address the future? He done already moved before you even asked. He done already moved on. He done already did it. He said, "That's yesterday's news. Keep on watching." You ain't seen nothing. We serve a God that says, "You ain't seen nothing yet. There's some other stuff coming. Hold on." So he says, "You're going to know that I'm in the midst." That means that you're going to know that I'm with you. You're going to know that I'm moving in you. You're going to know that I'm manifesting in the midst of Israel. That's you, too. And that I am Yahweh, your Elohim, and none else. See, there's some stuff operating in different places, but it's not him. I don't know about you, but I'm not coming to church to experience some stuff. I'm coming to church to experience him. I don't want to, these are not my words. I'm just a servant. This is his word. I didn't write this book. He wrote it. And so when it says, "And my people shall never be ashamed." Tell somebody, don't be ashamed of a mighty God. You ain't got nothing to be ashamed of. Where are you going? I'm going to church to experience Yahweh. That's why we need use the name of Yeshua. I keep saying this every session, but there's always somebody that needs to hear it. And I don't know about you, but I never get tired of hearing it. The name Jesus didn't come until 1611. The year 1611. And I was having a conversation with a brother last week. And just a few years prior to that, maybe about 5 to 10 years, that J had just been created in the English language. It had just been created about 10 years before that, in the 1600s. And so 1611, they say, okay, we're going to try out, we're going to use this J here on this name right here. Well, there's no J in the Hebrew. So in your translation, why are you translating the name?
Come on now.
So my question, as maybe your question should be, well, what were they calling him before 1611? And if the English language didn't get that J in the English language didn't get formatted until 1600, then they trying to apply some new stuff to something that's been in existence thousands of years before. So my question is, after 5 to 10 years, you ain't even qualified to try to name nobody. You ain't even qualified to name yourself, let alone the God that we serve that said he sent his son that has a name above every name. So who instructed you to change his name? You ain't even got a doctorate in name changing. So, use the name Yeshua. That's what they call him. That's the name he was given. And Yeshua in the Hebrew means he will save and he will deliver. So when you are out and about, don't be ashamed to call his name. Because he just said, you his people. No, that's provided you his people. Is his people in the house? All right. Just saying. Just tell your neighbor, I'm just saying. I'm just saying. You know, because sometimes we be ashamed about that name. I'm like, what you be ashamed for? Well, you know, because everybody's using Jesus. Well, everybody's not studying to show their self-approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. Truth seekers. Man, I want to call him what his daddy called him. And the daddy told mama what... Said, Mary, you gonna call him. You don't make up your own name. Don't call him Mercedes. You gonna call him because we, you know, people have a tendency to do what they think. What sound good? He was like, nah. This is the child that I sent. You gonna call him this. You shall call him name Yeshua because he will save the people. And that's exactly what he did. Okay, I just felt that at the moment in time. I ain't ashamed. Tell your neighbor, don't be ashamed. All right. Real quick, can we just yell out his name?
Yes.
Okay. There's just power in that. Okay, so the 28th verse says what? And it shall come to pass afterward. Now remember, this is a prophecy. Prophecy is something that's being foretold. It hasn't happened yet, but it's coming. Hundreds of years this was foretold. He says, it's going to come to pass and afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And when I pour it out, something is going to happen. See, there had not been any pouring out yet. It was just something, my God, how? God, Yahweh, is going to pour out his own spirit? My God, what does that look like? What does that sound like? What does that feel like? And so now, after the prophecy, there was an expectation that one day, and we were all telling each other, one day, he's going to pour. He's going to pour out his, can you imagine him pouring out his spirit?
Come on now.
Something that's holy and high and lifted up and sanctified and consecrated, he actually going to pour it on us? What is that? My God, can you imagine? I can't imagine the people that heard that. They were like, whoa, did you hear what the prophecy said? He's going to pour out his spirit. Man, we've been experiencing some stuff, but can you imagine what's going to happen when he actually pours
spirit?
When he poured out, it's not going to be quiet. When he poured out, we ain't going to be still. When he poured out, it's on and cracking. It's about to be what? We about to turn up. It's about to happen. And then he said, when he pours it out, you'll know, because there's going to be some stuff going on. He said, there's your sons and your daughters, they're gonna start prophesying. See, it was only a certain group of people that would prophesy, but he said, when that Holy Ghost come, your sons and daughters are gonna be doing it. It's gonna be, you're gonna see that. Oh, and then he said, your old men. Any old men in the house? Hold up. Don't be ashamed. Hallelujah. And they're going to be so into it that they're going to have dreams. Oh, and he said, young men. Any young men in the house? Put your hand down. You ain't seeing visions. You dreaming dreams. But he said, this was going to be the evidence. You're going to see some supernatural stuff happening right in your midst. You're going to experience me working. You're going to experience me doing things and speaking. And there's going to be a display that the world is going to see. And then that happened in Acts, the second chapter. That day of Pentecost. And so they had talked about this. And so if we go back to Acts, the second chapter, hallelujah, look what what a mighty God. Oh my goodness. So tell your neighbor, that was that. Because we were talking about that. Well, what did the prophet Yoel say? He said that you were going to experience that. This is what they were talking about. So now, fast forward to Acts 6 chapter. And we go back to the 16th verse. And he says, you thought these folks was drunk. They're not drunk as you suppose. But they drunk, they full of something, because something else was poured out. And it wasn't wine that was poured out. And the 17th verse says, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith Yahweh, I will, here we go. He said he was going to pour out in the Old Testament. And now here we are in the New. And hundreds of years later, we are experiencing a pour out. What you're seeing is a pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, that your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall what? Dream dreams. And the 18th verse says, and on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit. And they shall, today, right now, February the 21st, is the day of his Spirit. He is still pouring out. So what is that? What is that transfer? What is that exchange? What is it called? We got to find out next week. Father God, well, we just thank you and praise you for your power, your presence, your glory, all the things that you're manifesting to us, your children. We thank you that we have an eager expectation every time we seek you, that you're going to move, that you're going to provide opportunities for us to experience you. We don't want to move to the left or to the right until we hear from you. So right now, minister to each and every one of us the important how important it is to understand that your outpour, so that we can experience this in your presence. Even today, even right now, we're experiencing you. Speak to our hearts, speak to our minds. Transform us. Show us your glory. And we're careful to give you all the honor and glory and the praise. In Yeshua's mighty name we pray. Amen. Keep your head bowed. There is power in the name of Yeshua. There is a pouring out of his Spirit, even today. Even in this setting, he's changing hearts and minds. He's providing healing. He's providing deliverance. He's providing joy to the brokenhearted. He's providing shalom and peace to those that are disturbed. And you say, hey, you know what? I want a relationship where he is supplying all those things for me. I find myself in need daily. And I have had an opportunity to experience and witness his joy. People that are excited about him. People are happy about him. People that trust him and believe in him and pray to him. And I want that relationship. You're not here by any coincidence or accident. That's not even a word in the Hebrew. There's no word for coincidence. You're experiencing, you're here because you're supposed to be here. So if you're saying within yourself, I want something more. I've lived my life the way I have wanted to live it and saw fit, but I need something more. And if you want something more today, we'll pray for you that you can experience something more. All you have to do is raise your hand and we'll pray for you. You're saying, I want that relationship that is going to allow me to experience something more. I anticipate something more in my life. And if that's you, just raise your hand and we'll pray for you for that something more. Say, I want something more. Hallelujah. Maybe you have had a relationship, you've been baptized and deal with the Spirit, but you say, hey, you know what? I drifted away. I'm not as close as I used to be, but I know that he is ministering to me. He is calling me back. I perceive that. I know that he's moving in my life. And you're saying that I want to rededicate myself. I want to restore that relationship. And if you want restoration that is here for you today, just raise your hand. We'll pray for you for restoration, that you will be restored to that place. Bow your heads. Let's pray. Father Yahweh, we just thank you. Oh, we praise you. Spirit, praise you for what you've manifested once again to us, your children. We ask that right now, We ask right now that for the needs of your children, that you answer whatever those needs are. And whatever these needs are, Father, that you will not just meet the needs, but you'll exceed the needs. We thank you, Father, that you are amazing. And so let her receive everything that you have for her. Give you glory.